I have just two words for you.
Right now, it's Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
And top of the evening, St. Louis, it's the Hancock and Kelly No Politics Monday night, late nights with Hancock and Kelly, except tonight there is no Kelly because, well, you know, Michael, if you know Michael, he's occasionally he gets out of town and he's taken one of his 73 excursions that he typically takes during the year. He's on a little family vacation this weekend and or this week. And so I am privileged to be joined by the director of communications from Show Me Victories here in St. Louis, a Democrat. He works with Mike. It's one of Michael Kelly's myriad of companies that he has. Braxton Payne is with us. Brax, welcome aboard.
Good evening.
Delighted to have you. You guys did something very, very cool over the last couple of days. So there's all this talk about this lawsuit between the city of St. Louis and the convention or the sports bureau and the former St. Louis Rams, Stan Kroenke. And the rulings have not been going the way of the Rams, I think it would be safe to say.
Very many of them.
Yeah, very many of them. And it looks like somebody, the Rams, Stan Kroenke, somebody's going to pay a whole lot of money. And so there's been this increasing talk that they're going to move to settle the case before it goes to trial on January 4th. Because if it goes to trial, then it's going to bring a lot of information out into the public domain that the NFL and the various owners of the NFL don't want to be made public. And so there's this talk of settlement. You all decided to put the dipstick in to public opinion. That's part of what you do at Show Me Victories. What'd you guys do?
Yeah, so one of the things we like to do is we like to test public opinion, you know, around the country, especially here in St. Louis. Our polling division is led by Dr. Bryce Summery, an UMSL graduate, doctor in political science. And so one of the things that we wanted to do is we hear these news stories here on KMOX every day about what the Rams are doing now. Is Robert Kraft and Stan Kroenke going to take the stand?
Well, right now they're losing. Apparently they're down 21-7 to the San Francisco 49ers. Darn,
not
I hate
a very good team
when
either.
That happens.
Yeah, so one of the things we wanted to do is I was curious, to be honest with you. We've actually, over the weekend, we did three different polls in our region. So, you know, we're always trying to have the pulse on what exactly the voters think. So we did a poll of 700 registered voters in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. Both are part of this lawsuit, along with the Regional Sports Commission.
Right.
And so we wanted to know, you know, do they really care about if they want an expansion team, which we've heard, do they want the Los Angeles Chargers, which was part of one of the original ideas floated when we were trying to keep the Rams here? Do we want just the $1 billion estimated settlement, or do we want the jury here in St. Louis City to decide?
Yeah, and that's really what's on the table. So the NFL is trying to figure out, okay, what in the heck can we give these people? They're going to win the suit. It's going to be a lot of money. Do we try and hand them $1 billion and make it all go away? Or might there be some kind of a mechanism where we give them a team, either an existing team, you mentioned the Chargers, or an expansion team, and then do we have to build them a stadium? I mean, is it that? Because what the suit alleges is that the NFL violated its own relocation guidelines to take the Rams away from St. Louis. And there's a lot of bitterness in this town, clearly, with Stan Kroenke. But there's also a lot of bitterness with the NFL. And so the question on the table was, do the people of St. Louis even care about the NFL anymore? Do they even care if we have a team or not? And you got some very interesting results.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we're learning, especially out of this poll, is the people are very knowledgeable of this. 71% of people in St. Louis City and St. Louis County are familiar with the issue.
Which, that's crazy, because I'll bet you there 71% aren't familiar with very many
I bet
issues.
You 71% of people are not familiar who Sam Page is in St. Louis County, and he's in the news every day as well.
Right.
So obviously sports is something that's very important to people. So we asked several different questions. One of them was, you know, do you follow this issue? We said that 71% are following this issue either somewhat or very closely, which, you know, John, working in politics, as you just mentioned, that's a high number.
It's off the charts.
I was expecting something between, you know, the 40 to 50%.
Yeah.
The next question we asked was, would you support or oppose an expansion team here in St. Louis that the NFL would give us as part of the settlement? I thought this interesting. This number was interesting because as we learn more about this the NFL with this lawsuit, I think the more the hatred is growing away from Stan Kroenke or multiplying with NFL owners. I think they did some very backroom deals that were obviously probably not illegal or not legal.
Right.
We saw that 49% of city and county voters are in favor of an expansion team.
So that surprised me. So basically half of St. Louis says, yeah, you know what? We'd like to have a team. How did that break down? Was it mostly men? Was it more county than city? Was there any kind of a racial disparity in there?
So with this one, one of the things that I thought that was the most interesting was there was some differences in this number. Men were about 53% in support, as women were about 46%.
Okay.
You had African Americans that were higher in support of this than white voters.
Interesting.
And actually, the two highest subgroups were this were people that identify themselves as Democrats.
Yeah.
Were in favor of this, when only 48% of Republicans were in favor, but 55% of Democrats were in favor, and then 42% of independents. You also see that the number was a little bit higher in the city of St. Louis, with 54% in favor, with as a county only 48%, which I thought this was interesting because when we were talking about building the new stadium, there was a lot of pushback from a lot of city residents about the city owning a stadium.
Yeah.
But you're seeing that over half of the voting population in St. Louis City would like to see an expansion team, as you just mentioned. I don't think we could play in that dome as it sits right now.
Yeah, no.
So we would either need a new stadium or major upgrades to it.
Yeah, I think the dome's days as an NFL venue are over. Now, it was a perfectly fine venue for the Battle Hawks back in the day.
Of course. We didn't need much for those games.
But you know what? I mean, we put butts in seats for the Battle Hawks. That was, this is a football city. Well, it's a sports city.
We're a sports town, for sure.
Yeah, and we love
St. Louis is very, I would say, cultish in a good way when it comes to sports. We still identify with high school sports teams.
Right.
You know, the CBC Cadets, when they have a home game and they're good, you know, you talk about the Webster Kirkwood football game on Turkey Day. I mean, we still go to those. I mean, that's still a thing that people follow in St. Louis.
Well, the future of the NFL is going to be decided because if they're going to settle this thing, it's going to be next month in December of 2021, and we'll see what the NFL puts on the table, and we'll see if the plaintiff's attorneys representing the city of St. Louis and the sports commission, if they're willing to kind of play ball with a possible expansion team or whether they're going to go straight for the money. It's going to be fascinating to watch that play out. Braxton Payne, he's the director of communications with Show Me Victories here in St. Louis. They conducted the poll. We're going to talk about this poll a little later on in the program. We're here for the next 2 hours. When we come back, I've been involved, I would say heavily involved, with a church in the inner city here in St. Louis. I've gotten to know the pastor quite well. He's just a great, great man. He's one of my best friends now. He was in an unbelievable traffic situation earlier this week, and he lived to tell about it. And when we come back, he's going to tell about it. Pastor Arthur Melton from the Great Day Missionary Baptist Church joins us after this on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. And welcome back to KMOX, John Hancock in. Michael Kelly is on that rare vacation where he gets out of town. Braxton Payne, the Director of Communications at Show Me Victories, one of Michael Kelly's companies, he's sitting in. Braxton, thanks so much for joining me tonight.
It's great to be here.
It is delighted. I'm delighted to have you. So it was almost 7 years ago that I was introduced to a gentleman in the city of St. Louis who pastors a church in the heart of North St. Louis. It's called the Great Day Missionary Baptist Church. It's at the corner of Annie Malone and Cote Brilliant in the Ville neighborhood. This is a jewel, I have come to find, an oasis of faith and a tremendous congregation of people who love each other, worship God together, and worship God heartily together. And I, in the course of that relationship with this church, I've gotten to know its pastor, Arthur Melton. He's been the pastor of this church for well over 15 years, maybe going on 20. He founded it as he was in the process of retiring from his employment as a pipe fitter. And he's just one of the most special people I've ever had the privilege to know in my life, and I count it a privilege to know Pastor Arthur Melton, and he joins us right now on the Quiver River Electric Cooperative guest line. Pastor Melton, how are you?
Just wonderful. How are you, Brother Hancock?
I am doing well. So how long have you pastored Great Day?
Since 1995, November the 4th, 1995.
So over a quarter of a century then. It's longer than I thought. And it's a tight-knit congregation, and you do so much to give back to the community. The church is located in a very, I think you would say, distressed part of downtown St. Louis, and the church reaches out to the community.
That's true. That's true. We have involvement at all times in our local community, and we have outreach where we go and have church services at some of the senior buildings, and we have interaction with the seniors in the building from different churches and different denominations. But we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Indeed you do, and you do it faithfully, and you do it every Sunday. And one of the features of Great Day Missionary Baptist Church is Bible study on Tuesday evenings, and I've been privileged to attend and at times present to that Bible study, and that's a special time. It's a smaller number of worshipers that come on Tuesday nights, but that's a special event in the life of the church, isn't it?
It is very much so, and we were so blessed when you came and you served with us, and you gave us a year-long study in the Bible, and even though I read a lot, I gained so much from that intense study where each week we had scriptures that led us to be able to read from Genesis all the way to Revelation with insight given by yourself. And I was amazed at your insight. But when God gifts someone the way He has gifted you, they have that spiritual insight that God gives to some. Everybody don't have the same gifts from God. That's proved out in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and 11th verse, where it says He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, preachers, and teachers. So there are gifts that are given, but everyone's not given the same gift. But I thank God for the gift of love that He gave you. You have such a love for the people. And to come to our community in a humble little place in the center of the city, and to involve yourself with the teaching ministry, with the uplifting of the congregation, and the financial input, we thank God for that also.
Well, Pastor, you're making this old pale skin blush over here. this ain't about me, Pastor. So, but I do want to take you back to this last Tuesday evening. So you're leaving your home, you're going to Bible study. You're as you do every Tuesday. You're driving down Highway 70 from St. Louis County, North St. Louis County, where you live, heading down to Annie Malone and Cote Brilliant to Great Day. And I have no other words except a miracle occurred. What happened?
That was one of the most traumatic moments that I've ever experienced in my whole entire life. And my mortality flashed before me. The accident was so, well, accident is called accident because it's something that's unexpected that would happen. And I had my mind on what we're going to teach and just tooling along at about 55 miles per hour, paying attention to traffic, but not dead focused on anything in particular. But
a drive that you've made hundreds of times.
Every Tuesday,
yeah.
and every Sunday, I'm like a rabbit. I go the same way all the time, but God always intervened on our behalf. When the accident occurred, momentarily I had no idea what had occurred. All I remember, a big bang, and then I come to myself. I was on the floor of my van, and a lady was opening the door. Asking, am I okay? And I responded. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that God dispatches angels to watch over us. Now, I'll paraphrase that slightly, but he dispatches angels to watch over us. And we don't know when our angels are standing between us and our imminent death on this earth. But God has a time for us to transition from this life into our eternal state.
So to set this up, this accident you describe, you were in the church van, right?
No, I was in my private van.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so
we do have a church van.
Yeah. But. So you're in your van, and you got sandwiched between two semi 18-wheeler trucks on the highway doing 55 miles an hour. That's what happened.
Exactly. And when the accident occurred, if a person could stand back and look at the accident scene, it would show how miracles do occur. Here's this big 18-wheeler in the back loaded, 18-wheeler in the front loaded. Well, I assume a loaded point. But anyway, my car in between, and being able to stand on the side and look back at that scene.
You walked away.
Spoke to me. Right. Spoke my mortality to me. It let me know how tenuous life is and how quickly it can change. But I always tell my congregation all the time, dying from this life is not the worst thing that can happen to us. Amen. Dying unsaved is the worst thing that can happen. Mm. So if we are saved, when we come into a situation that is death-threatening, sure, we react as human beings do. But at the same time, we have the confidence in knowing that our God, our Creator, our Maker, who sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and I get emotional just thinking about it. Him dying on the cross that I might have a right to the tree of life, and then the display to me on this earth, how God will protect us on this earth, because I had no idea of what was going to happen.
I am confident you have experienced a miracle. And the fact that you were able to walk away from that incident 6 days ago and preach last Sunday at church at the age of 81 years old. I do know, Pastor, that God's got he's not finished with you yet. Clearly, he's got great and mighty things for you to continue to accomplish. And I thank you for sharing that story. And I thank you for your boldness in the gospel. And I thank you for your ministry. When I think of the members of that church and how dependent and how enriched their lives are because of your ministry, it brings me great joy that you were spared this last Tuesday evening. And I'm just so delighted you took a moment or two to share that with us tonight. And do you know what you're preaching about next Sunday yet?
It's going to be a continuation of 2 Corinthians. We're going to skip to the sixth chapter. We just had two sermons out of 2 Corinthians, fifth chapter. First was verses 1 through 7, where verse 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. That's verse 7 of the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. And this last Sunday, we did a follow-up on that from 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, starting at verse 10, skipping to verse 17, and concluding with verse number 21, where Jesus Christ paid the price for us, that he became our righteousness. He gave up his life that we might live. And in doing that, we didn't deserve it. His grace and his mercy is what covers us. And he put people in people's lives. He put you in the life of Great Day Missionary Baptist Church.
He did.
And myself. And it's amazing how that a person of your stature would reach into the heart of the inner city and take a person like myself and our church. It wasn't just me. You happen to hold church. And I know you say it's not about you, but it is. God has used you in a mighty way. And our congregants love you. Some of them have your phone number, and you allow them to call you. So I thank God for you being the man that you are. And it's having an impact on our church, and we have an impact in our community. We were doing hot dog giveaways before. We've been doing those since 1996. It's nothing new with us. We give in the community. We give clothing. We give food as much as we can. And we spiritually outreach to other people. We don't go into denominationalism. We just simply express that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that his sacrifice on Calvary made it so that all of us would have access to eternal life and a position with God.
You know, folks, people like this is one of my favorite people that I have ever known, and I'm just delighted and honored to share a little bit of airtime tonight with Pastor Arthur Melton from the Great Day Missionary Baptist Church. We praise God for your survival in that horrible accident and wish you nothing but the best for your ministry, Pastor. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a blessed evening.
I thank you. Be blessed.
All right. When we come back, young Braxton and I. Braxton, you've been married how long?
Since May 15th, however many months that is.
Well, I've been married since December 1st of 1990. We're going to talk about dating and the marriage life from a couple of different generations when we come back on KMOX. Hey there, it's Hancock and Kelly. Well, it's Hancock. Kelly's on, he's on assignment, as we like to say. sitting in for Michael is his good buddy and mine, Braxton Payne. He's the communications director of Show Me Victories, one of Michael Kelly's many political consulting companies. Of course, we don't talk politics here on Monday nights with Hancock and Kelly. That's kind of our thing. So we're going to eschew Braxton talking about politics. Yes. How did you get to know Michael Kelly, by the way?
Long story short, I knew his niece. She was a volleyball coach of mine.
Oh, yeah, and you're a huge volleyball guy.
Yeah, I love volleyball. I'm assistant coach now at Fompon University in my spare time for the men's program. Yes. Uh-huh. One of four. So we got Cardinals tickets from Michael, you know, being the generous guy he is.
Right.
Picked him up from his office. His niece told me what he does for a living. It would have been 10 years ago or two. It was in 2012, summer of 2012. And I was like, well, I need an internship with college. So I was like, well, maybe I'll just email him. Can I have his email? So I emailed him. It was 3 days after the 2012 election. I walked into his office. And typical Mike Kelly fashion, mind you, his office at the time is his loft.
Right.
Here and down on Wash Ave at the time. He has his feet up on the table. And I walk into the office and we're talking. He leaves about halfway through the interview, leaves me with Megan McBride, which is also on KMOX a lot of times. So we start talking. He's like, well, what do you want? You want me just to sign the papers for college credit? No. I actually want to do the work. So I did the work. My first month was just the union holiday Christmas parties, which were great. You know, as a 21-year-old, getting the drink
little
in the middle
party,
of the day.
Little party planner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was great. I mean, it was a great learning experience. I've been with them ever since.
And now you're running his whole digital operation.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that next hour. Fascinating, folks, how much information the marketers out there have about each and every one of us and how they are able to pinpoint messaging, sales, advertising for us every time we go online, every time we go to a website, every time we open our Facebook, there's eyes on us. And Braxton's going to kind of peel back the covers on that next hour. But we're both now married men.
Yes.
I've been a married man for, it'll be 31 years in 2 weeks. You've been a married man for how long?
6 months today, believe it or not.
Half anniversary 6 months ago.
Yes.
And your bride, Megan.
Megan, yes.
Not the same Megan that works for Michael Kelly,
but
a different Megan. Your Megan is a nurse in town here. And so you've been married for 6 months. So I'm curious, because, you know, when you're young and single, you're a dude. You know, there's that dude. Look at that dude over there. And then, of course, you get married and you become subdued. And so after 31 years, you know, I'm pretty subdued. You're a newlywed, more or less. What does a date night look like for you? What are you, 30 years old?
31, yeah. So, I mean, some questions I have for you, too, because, you know, in St. Louis, I feel like we have such a good food scene, right?
Totally.
I think we, a small mid-market city, yeah. I think there's a lot of good food. So a lot of times
really
what we like
food.
To do is, it's very rare we cook on the weekends. So
yeah.
Every, Friday, Saturday night, we go out to dinner. Our favorite place is in Benton Park in our neighborhood called Frazier's. It's been there for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
We love to go
burgers,
there.
Burgers, right? Are they great burgers there?
They have great burgers. They have great oysters. They have great cocktails. They're known for their specialty cocktails. And we love to throw back a couple of those on a Saturday night.
Do you now? Yeah.
But other than that...
Did Michael Kelly teach you that?
I think I learned that from my father. well, that was one of the things we like to do. But, I live in the city, so it's easy for me to get around to different experiences and, go to a concert here and there. It's 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
But, you've been married 31 years, and, going to dinner every Saturday, especially when you had, you've had, two kids, it's not, always feasible. Like, what do you, if we're going to have kids here soon, I would like to know, what do you do to keep up the flavor?
Well, it's interesting. So, what we have found ourselves doing, because the kids are grown and out now.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, it's a treat to have the kids over to the house. And so we do, when the kids are little, you do a lot of family game nights and da-da-da, mm-hmm. And you're playing, when they're really little, you're playing Candyland and Chutes and Ladders or whatever.
Chutes and Ladders.
but now, we love having the kids over, and we actually play games with them, and it's just so much fun. It's indescribable how much joy it is to have adult children who are doing well. And not everybody has that blessing.
Yeah.
But Georgianne and I am a foodie. I love to eat. There's almost nothing I would rather do than eat. And so we hit a lot of restaurants. But, over the years, we would, for a date night, we would go bowling or we'd play a little miniature golf or go see a movie. I got to tell you, since COVID,
yeah,
I have not been to a movie theater, and I can't – so it was – we're Monday, right? So last Friday, I was leaving to come on down here to be on the show with Michael, and I said to Georgianne as I'm walking out the door, I said, let's have a date night. Let's go see a movie. What do you want to see? And she says, I don't know. I'll take a look. And I said, I'll take a look too.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a movie. If you're in the movie business, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Are there
the movies that are out right now – are horror films.
Don't want them.
Or action movies or like Marvel. There's really no...
Right.
There's no rom-coms or there's a French Dispatch out right now that looks pretty good, but that's more of like a drama comedy. But like I was mentioned to you earlier too, it was just like these, even like most theaters, they're showing one movie a day.
These action figure hero, whatever you call them things.
Yeah. I don't like them at all.
I don't get it. All right, so we're joined in here. Abby Hobold is our producer this evening. She's probably younger than you are, Braxton. Do you watch movies, Abby?
Yeah, I do. A lot.
Anything worth seeing out there?
I really like Dune.
Oh, Dune.
The Timothy Chalamet
Dune.
Movie.
So,
yeah.
All right, what's going on with Dune? What's the story there?
Well, it's going to be a two-parter, isn't it?
It's at least two parts. I'm not sure if it's going
to
be
three. But can't you watch it online, too? You don't even have to go see it in a movie theater.
Only for, five more days, I think.
Okay.
But
you
got to
have the big screen. What's going on with this thing, this Dune? Are you, in a Dune buggy?
It's like a futuristic film.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So it kind of has it's an action movie, I guess, is what it would probably be classified as, right?
Probably.
Yeah, and Timothée Chalamet is a great actor. So, that's something I would see, but, it's not something I'm, striving to go see a movie at. And I like an experience when you go see a movie. I love the new seats where you get to recline and you get you're not sitting right next to somebody anymore.
This will finish me off in about 20 minutes. I couldn't tell you what happened after the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Oh yeah, well yeah. That's why we normally, me and my wife go see a movie, it has to be the matinee because I'll fall asleep.
Right.
If it's anything past 7, we were supposed to go see a movie Saturday night after Frasier's.
You're an old soul,
Braxton. And I canceled it. I was like, we'll just go the next day. We actually called the movie theater and it said, hey, we got these tickets for 8 o'clock. Can we go tomorrow at 3? And they said yes.
Oh, sure.
Which, they said they were sold out online. So, who knows?
Well, I don't know if there's any good movies. 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. But,
you mentioned games. You know, my wife's family loves board games. When we go on family vacations, they love Five Crowns.
It's the best. I'm so competitive.
So what board games do you... What's your go-to and what are you the best at?
Perhaps the greatest game in the history of games is Clue.
Oh, I love Clue.
I mean, Clue is, you know, you got Colonel Mustard over here. you got what's her name? The Scarlet over there. You got the knife. You got the ballroom. I mean, you know, it's the consummate figure it out game.
Yeah.
And it's strategic. You got to think, okay, do I make my guess now or
if you play
suggestion.
Too much, don't you run out of situations? You get like extender packs or is there?
Oh, no, no. No, no, because it's a combination of three. It's almost infinite when you start putting three, you know, thing. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
The combinations are infinite. So
her family's favorite's Five Crowns. It's a card game.
Ooh.
And it's a lot of strategy. Yeah. I still have yet to win against the family. They've been playing since, you know, forever, right. So they know all the strategy, but it takes a while. You know, you get 13 cards and there's like five different suits and
five suits.
Yeah. It's like there's diamonds and, you know, there's a heart, obviously a clover club or whatever. And then there's like a star and another one and there's a bunch of wilds and you got to lay down, you know, if you have three to start and it goes from three all the way up to 12. So it takes a while, but it's a point system. It's kind of like, you know, rummy. You're trying to get the least amount of points in this game.
Right? I don't think you could have a drink while you're playing that game. That sounds pretty complicated to me. I don't know.
Maybe that's why I always lose.
So if you've been paying attention to the news, of course, we don't talk politics here. We're not going to make this political. But we have seen over the last year a spot of inflation out there. How's it affecting people? I've noticed it. I wonder if young Braxton here has noticed inflation. I wonder if you've noticed inflation. We'll talk about it when we come back on The Voice of St. Louis. Camel X. You got half of Hancock and Kelly. You got Hancock. Kelly is on vacation. There's something you don't see every day, but we are fortunate to be joined in studio by Braxton Payne. He's the director of communications over at Show Me Victories. He's worked with Michael Kelly for the last decade, and he joins us here. And we were talking a little bit, and Braxton, we're generationally apart, you know, you and I. And I remember when I was in my early teens, we had runaway inflation in this country. It was 13, 14% inflation coupled with interest rates, which were over 20%, totally foreign to anything that younger folks have ever experienced. Yeah. And I do the grocery shopping. I don't do much in the yard, but I do the grocery shopping at home. And I started noticing, you know, months ago that what used to be $160 was $230, and now it's $300. And of course, gasoline prices are through the roof. And we've seen within the last week that the inflation rate over the last 12 months is 6.2%. It's the highest it's been in 30 years in this country. Does somebody your age, or do you feel the effects of inflation? Or are you just kind of rolling with it, or how's it affecting you?
I think it's kind of, there's no like yes or no answer to that. I think we feel it in some areas, but we've felt it. To be frank, I've felt it my entire life. So we talk about gas prices.
Yeah.
When I first got my car, it was $3 a
That's
gallon.
That's true. The gas has fluctuated.
So
yeah.
I've always been around, I mean, $2 to $3 a gallon since I've been able to drive.
Uh-huh.
So that's, I mean, that doesn't really, not much of a blink of an eye there. Grocery shopping, I also think it's different for millennials. We grocery shop in a different way. So
yeah.
You talk about the $160 bill.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very rare that we go to the grocery store for a whole week. We go for a couple meals. Like I'll go 2 to 3 times a week. So
really?
So we're spending, and my friends do this too. So we're spending, you know, $40, $50 because we're just getting things for a couple meals. We're not getting the 2 gallons of milk and then, you know, the carton of eggs and those type of, what would you consider, you know, a loaf of bread. I don't remember the last time I bought a loaf of bread.
Get a little filet mignon, maybe a pork chop.
Yeah.
Maybe some chicken breasts over there. I love grocery shopping. I like grocery shopping too. It's almost like it's a shopping spree, except I got to pay for it. And, but I go down every aisle. Ooh, when's the last time you had stovetop stuffing? Well, it's been months. It's good. Grab a box, throw a box.
Do you make a list when you go?
I have a list, but then you got to live.
Yeah.
So you go down there. Whoa, When's the last time you've had a Butterfinger bar? Look at it, they got a whole package of them over there. You throw that in the cart, you know, and you're on down the line. And then I get lost in the sauces. So do you like the sauces? So, you know, if you go buy a little fish, say you get the tilapia, get a couple of tilapia fillets. Well, then you go down the sauce aisle and you say, okay, what was it, the herb and garlic that you want with that? Or how about this? I love everything about the grocery store. I love.
How long's a normal shopping trip for you?
Well, it depends. I mean, if I'm tight on time, I can get out of there in an hour.
I make a list when I go and I make it in order. But I mean, And I do steer away from things, you know, you're talking about, like I said, it's not a yes or no answer on inflation.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, bacon's become really expensive.
Love bacon.
So
how can you live without
bacon? So
bacon's
now more of like a treat when it was normally every Sunday type thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, but the thing is also, like, growing up, I mean, you talk about like the cost of going to college. I mean, my college was $23,000 a year to go to.
Well,
in a public school, it was $10,000, $12,000. And we're talking, you know, when you went to school, which was not that long ago, it was, you know, a couple thousand. And, you know, just to get a normal book, I mean, Abby probably knows this, was $200, $250 just to get a textbook.
Hey, you know, those books are overrated when you go to college. You actually can get through that sucker without reading a whole lot of them, I have found out. But that's just me. But we're just about out of time, Greg. You were, I'm sure, a phenomenal student.
I got pretty good. Yeah, I never studied, though. I just had the right papers.
Summa cum laude or any of that stuff?
I didn't walk in my graduation. I was working for Mike by that point. I was ready just to go.
Well, we're going to learn. Speaking of working for Mike, we're going to learn how these marketers have our number when we come back. Braxton Payne, an expert on digital marketing. That's coming your way after the news on KMOX.